Right, well, welcome, everybody, to the last session of the last day. See, this is what I love about coming to the Netherlands and presenting, because it's the last session, the last day, on a Friday. And look at how many of you are still here, still wanting to talk about technology. This is great. You do some of these shows, you know, Tech Ed North America, and at Friday afternoon at 3:30, there are five people still hanging in there that want to... I want to go, so I love it. Hopefully we'll build the energy off of each other and make it a good end of the show for you. As you can see, my name is Matt Milner. I'm a consultant of Microsoft, primarily technologies, with a kind of a split between connected systems, building services, and those sorts of things, and starting to do a lot more back to my roots of doing the web. So that's what kind of brings me to jQuery. I started using it a lot to... build HTML clients for services that I was building. One of the things I was often doing was going out to those services, grabbing data, and wanting to use it in my client presentation tier. So this talk is going to be all about some things to help simplify that in terms of templating in your clients to lay out that data and present it more easily, as well as data linking or binding that data to elements on the page. So we're in kind of a weird state. I want to kind of start at the beginning and talk about that with many things. Obviously, you've heard lots of talks probably about Windows 8, and that's a transition, and we have, you know, new releases of Visual Studio and .NET coming, and that's a transition. Well, the same thing is true with templates in jQuery. So I'll talk a little bit about the history, where we're at right now, kind of where things look like they're going in the future as we go along. I'm going to talk specifically about the jQuery templates and data link that are available today and are in use on a bunch of sites, including some pretty large prominent sites. And then we'll talk about some of the futures and the libraries that are coming there. All right. How many of you are using jQuery today in your web applications? Okay, that's good. I won't have to explain a lot of the code that I put up then. Good. So you're probably familiar with this history, right? That Microsoft had their own client JavaScript library, the AJAX libraries. They were part of Visual Studio and used a lot along with the server controls and web forms. But what a lot of people didn't know is that the client side, you know, a lot of the AJAX stuff and the postbacks and things could be used without web forms. Now, whether they were very much, that might be a different story. And so, you know, obviously as time went on, more and more people, you saw all the hands go up here, more and more people were using jQuery. And Microsoft kind of realized along the way, you know what, this is clearly more popular than our AJAX client library. People are using it. Now it ships with Visual Studio, you do a new web project, and jQuery just gets included in there. And so the shift in direction meant instead of spending a lot of time and effort building out that AJAX client library, Microsoft put some of those developers on task of creating some of the things that they had in their books, that were planning on, creating those instead as jQuery plugins. And so they contributed a while back these three plugins through the official jQuery plugin process for templates and data linking, which we're going to talk about today, and also a plugin for globalization or localization on the client as well. So the first of those, the jQuery templates, as I said, is out there today. It's an official jQuery plugin. You can get it off Microsoft CDN and some of the other content delivery networks. And it provides us on the client what we've had for a long time now on the server. How many of you used to do old ASP development, like the VBScript kind of ASP? Oh, some. Okay. I don't feel as old as if I ask about the mainframe or assembler or things like that, but it's been a while, right? And we didn't have templates. We did a lot of, you know, string manipulation and things and writing loops ourselves. But with ASP.NET, we got this declarative binding with the controls. We still have that today with MVC, with Razor. You know, this nice model for I want to lay out my form or my UI, and I want to put the data where it goes. What I don't want to have to do on the client side is build those strings by using string concatenation, right? Seen the code, even with jQuery, you know, you go in and you do an append to, and you start just concatenating HTML tags and things together to add it on. And so the templating is all about, how do I make it a lot cleaner? How do I define a template for data that allows me to really create some rich HTML and then bind my data in, or render my data, rather, into that template? Because the reality is, if you think about, a simple example, concatenating a few tags together, a div and a value and an end div, that's not a big deal. But really, if you go out to the server, you're probably getting an object with 5, 6, 20 different properties. And you really want to build up that that string right there in that code. So when we look at the templates, I'm going to show you these real quick, and then we're going to go take a look at it. We have a set of tags that we can use inside that HTML to mark out the template contents. Or we can say, for example, that top item, I want you to render some expression or some field here in this template. So just marker tags to let us know that that the parser should do something with that. All right. So here we've got I've got some script. I've got a couple of JavaScript objects. I have a person at the top with just a first name and age, and then I've got a collection of people, so we can use that a little bit later. But let's do our on document load here. So we have our function. Now, one of the simplest ways to get started with this is I can just show you using a string. Before I do that, I should probably point out in my shared layout view the piece that kind of makes that work. This is one script. So I've added in this jQuery template script. You can get it through a NuGet package. You can go out and download it. You can point to the CDNs and grab it. But that is essentially the templating right there in that one JavaScript file. So that's going to enable me to do something like this in my function. I have a little placeholder here, a div for an inline person. And I want to apply a template to this person object up here. So for now, I'll just spit out the first name. So what I want is something like div. We'll do our dollar curly. First name, div. Slightly better than what we had before. We're not concatenating strings. And so I want to take that and I want to actually apply a template. So I'm going to use this. I can't call it the template method because there's one that actually is template. This temple method, I guess. And we'll pass in the person. And that's going to give us the elements then that we can append to the inline person. So we want to go down and add those things into the inline person there. Is IntelliSense just being goofy, or did I actually forget? Okay. I love the IntelliSense kicking in unnecessarily. Ah, it wasn't unnecessary. What did I miss? Ah, thank you. It is Friday. That's better. So now we've got our div up here. Right, it came in, it rendered out my first name up there. So in its simplest form, that's really what the templates are all about. Let me get that out of there. Right. Is I can now have, instead of concatenating things together, I can have some HTML markup. I can include in there these placeholders for where I want that particular data to go. Now, one of the problems with this right now is, yes, I gave it a string. But if I do this over and over again, it has to keep taking that string and compiling it into a template object. So I'm going to go one step further, and we're going to take this string. Make it a jQuery object, and now we will call the template method. And now I'm just going to give it a name. So this will be my inline person template. We're going to get rid of that first one. So what I've done is taken that bit of templating, that string, and I've said, all right, now I want you to take that and turn it into a template. Go ahead and compile it for me and store it with this name, inline person template. So now we'll go down here, and instead of that, we'll do inline person template. hard to tell if anything has changed. Let's change it up a little bit here in our templates. It'll say cached. And now you can see, right, I get the same output. But now I've taken that template, and for my simple one, it's not a big deal. But as they get more complex, I've taken that and I've compiled it now, and it's stored in the document object model with that name. And now I can use it all over the page, and I'm using that pre-compiled version. I don't have to take that hit of compiling that over and over again. All right. Now, kind of interesting, right? We're getting to the heart of how this stuff works, but that's not really what I want to do. Right? What I really want to do is something like this, where I could put a script tag in here, give it an ID, and we'll call that our person template. And now I really want to start doing some HTML in here. So I'll do first name. All right. This will get better in a second, I promise. I'll start using that collection. So now I've got that. So now I can use jQuery and simply go out and select that person template. And I can pass it the person. And then append to. That'll be my. Inline person. So same kind of idea, but here I'm going to go and grab that template from a known item, and I can now have that script tag out there. Now my IntelliSense is kicking in. It's kind of like spider sense, right? My IntelliSense is kicking in and saying, "Well, there's something wrong with this script tag. What type should that be?" I don't really want to make it JavaScript, because then my browser is going to try and take that line and treat it like script and run it. Right? So what we want to do is basically tell the browser, ignore this, please. Right? Don't look at this script tag. Don't try and process it. We don't want you to use it. We'll use it in our script, but the browser doesn't need to do anything with it. And fortunately, for good or bad, over the years, browsers have a tendency, if they see something they don't understand, to ignore it. Which has led to good things and bad things. Oops. So I don't want text JavaScript. We'll do something like this, text jQuery template. And this is just kind of a convention that people have used. And that essentially, when the browser sees that type, it says, "I don't know what to do with that. So I'm just going to skip over this block and leave it alone." So everything should render just fine. So now if we switch over, right, now we get that inline template. We've got the name and the H in there. All right. So let's take that one step further now and do the exact same thing, but we'll pass it an array. So now I'm going to pass it that array of objects. They look slightly different. They have a name and it's like a higher date instead of an age. So template won't do much here. So I have a higher date. And now, notice that I get three items without a name. What did I say? First name? Obviously, your properties have to match up. So the templating is aware. It's aware. If you give it one object, it will apply the template to it. If you give it a collection or you give it an array of objects, then it's going to go walk through that array and apply your template once for every item on there, rendering out all those different fields for you. All right. Good so far? Questions? Yeah, it should work for all browsers, because even the older browsers were pretty good at, "I don't know what to do with this, so I'm not going to try and process it." And a lot of browsers, you know, if you put, you'll hear a lot of people today when they're talking about HTML5 and things like that, if you use some of the new tags like section, or other things. Most browsers, even when they see things like that, will at best will just completely ignore it, and at worst will treat it like a div, or will do something like that. But for a script tag, if it's a JavaScript, then it knows, okay, this is JavaScript. I should load it up and do something with it. But if it's not a script that it knows how to process, as far as I know, all the browsers that I've seen this work on is a pretty broad, pretty broad range of browsers, old and new, that will just skip over that. Yeah. All right. So let's go a little deeper with those tags. We've got our people up here, and I've got a couple of different properties on them. Should fix that. So for a given person, we've got the name, the hire date. We've got a URL here. And then we have a collection of favorite technologies. So let's go back to our template here. We're going to fix this up. We're going to put this now down in a table. So we've got a header here. Let's do we'll do a hire date on there, and then we can do for the hire date, and then we'll have the favorite text. So we'll have some columns there, and then we're just going to add some rows down to this body down here. So for each item, we want to do a table row, and then we can do a table definition. And so here, we're going to do that. We can just do name. That one's easy. We say hire date, we can do that. Oops. But now we've got that set of favorite technologies. That is going to be a collection. It's going to be an array of objects on there. And so we want to be able to go and iterate over those. So naturally we'll use an each. So we can come in here and do each. Favorite text. Oops. And so we could do something fun like an owner or list. Anybody notice I'm not getting IntelliSense in here? It's one of the drawbacks of having this inside that script tag is you don't get IntelliSense. So a lot of times if you're building up some HTML, you might actually do it in line where you want it to show up, copy it up or paste it up into the template. So we have the favorite, looks like it was favorite tech, not favorite text. So we're going to each over those. And then we can just do a line item. Those have a name as well. Oops, I stuck it in the wrong spot, didn't I? Still putting it in the div. We'll put it down in the table here. So we've got our person, we've got our date. We'll have to fix that up in a little bit because that's not going to fly with the user acceptance testing. And we've got our technologies over there. Now, I like to pick on Aaron a little bit. Aaron is the CEO of Pluralsight, and he and I used to do a lot of training together. But now he doesn't get to do training because he has to do all that manager stuff. So he doesn't have any favorite technologies. At least none that aren't marketing related or something. So I'm going to give him a hard time, and we'll come in here and we'll use this if. And so we'll say, well, if favorite tech, then we'll go and we'll do all this good stuff. So we'll indent that a little bit. Of course, we'll have an else and an end if. Oops, can't get my curly braces right. And here we'll just have to do, let's do a strong must be a manager. So now we can start blending these things together and say, all right, well, if we actually have data, then we want to put something out. All right? Otherwise, we want to put something else out and use that if else technique, and then we've got the each in there as well. Now if we go through, poor Aaron, no more favorite technologies, but he still gets some output. So let's fix up that date. And for this, I'm going to copy and paste because I'll never remember this JavaScript function the way I want to. I think it's this one. There we go. So I want to format that date. I'm just going to put a JavaScript function here to format JSON date. It's going to take in the original date as a string, parse it all out, and give me a nice short date. And so when we get down here to the higher date, then I can simply put that in there, because remember, this is an expression or a field. So now I can call out to that JavaScript function, pass in the higher date, and it's going to give me back the value now that will be rendered into the output. Or not. Substra. How does that not support that? It's not substring, right? I know I just copy and pasted this. What's that? No, it's not. It should be just a... I did set it as a date, but... See, here I thought I was being smart. Pulling that down. No, it doesn't like it. Why does it work on the other page? Yeah, it may be a date, I'm pretty sure. Let's, yeah, that's a date. Pass it in. You're right. All right, well, let's do this then. Not sure how I got this working before. There you have it. It was a date. Clearly I was passing a string when I used that before. So I can pass in that date object now and format that the way I want and get that back. Thank you for your JavaScript IntelliSense skills over there. It's much better than Visual Studio. I didn't even get a green squiggly. Right. So the point is, if you get your JavaScript right, you can call these script functions from within those templates in order to not just display the data, but actually augment it, run some tests and things like that. What's that? Yeah, it is July 1st, 2005, and unfortunately my machine's in U.S. So I know, it looks wrong, doesn't it? It looks like January. Yeah. This is August? No? Okay. So we've got our templates, we've got our if, we've got our each. Now I've got one more thing on these people, though. They have this URL for their homepage. So let's go add that down to our table here. And then we'll put it in our template. I'll add another TD, and we'll just put the URL in there, and that should work, right? No. No, because, all right, the data we have on the object is actually an HTML string. It has tags in it. And when you write these things out, by default, it's going to try and make sure they are encoded properly and that stuff doesn't get written out. So this is where we need that HTML tag. We need to be able to tell it. No, I know that this data contains some HTML markup. And that's okay. It's okay to render it. So we want to be careful that we know where that's coming from. Oops, not HTTP. So we put that in now. I've got the double curlies HTML, just like the if, and we give it the data. And now that comes out, and we get the link to the homepage for that person. Questions so far on the templates, any of these tags that we have here, or the script, any of that so far? Yeah. Ah, he asked the question I wanted him to ask. I didn't even tell him up front. The question was, great, you have this template, but it's stuck in your file. What if you want to use it somewhere else? Right? Can you put that template somewhere else? Sure. Let's take this. Oops. Copy it. I happen to have a file right here. We'll replace what I had because this is more fun. And now we just in this HTM file, we just have the template, right? Starting with our TR tag and what we have there. Now, one of the things we know about our templates here from our first demos that might have seemed like they weren't very interesting is that we can use this temple method to pass in a string, maybe a markup and our template, and apply it to a particular object or objects as we go. So let's come in here, and instead of doing this, are you jQuery people? How am I going to go get that data? Get? I know. It's an easy question. It's a Friday, right? Templates. PersonTemplate.htm. We'll do a callback for when that comes back. Okay. So I'm going to take this, copy it down here, and this time I'm going to fix all the things that need fixing. So instead of an inline template, we'll just pass that data. We're going to apply it to all the people, and we're going to put it in the container. So same idea we had before is I can just take a string, I can pass it into this temple function. It'll then use that as a template as we go. Just so we know it's doing it, let's go change one of these we'll just say is a manager. He'll like that. There we go. He says, there we go. Index templates and the function. Append to container. We're not calling the other one. It's all commented out. What's that? I still have this in here, but I'm actually not using it anywhere. Or shouldn't be. Let's try that. This is the index page, yes? That's my load function that I usually forget. Let's... not hitting my load. All those are commented out. They have a get and a function and data. We're calling that. And we're attaching it to container. Make sure we don't have one of those fun Visual Studio things where I think I'm editing the index while I'm not. Nope. Oh my goodness. We even took the template out. Yeah, it could be the browser. Thank you. There you go. So watch out for browser caching of your external file. Obviously, IIS should pick up that we changed that, but it did not. So yes, you can have those things out there. You can have them in those separate files, leverage them from different pages. I could also take that string that I get back, compile it into a named template, and use that. So I could make that call once at the beginning, put in a named template, and then everywhere I use it on the page, I can call that named template and use the compiled version as well. Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's see, which function are you? Oh, yes, yeah, what I would do is this, I would move out, and it would be in a central JavaScript file that I would share across the site. All the JavaScript that I'm doing here, all the functions, I would probably have in a script file that was just for this particular page. But yeah, if you have things like that that are going to be shared across the templates, you'd absolutely want them in a shared JavaScript file that you make sure to include in all the pages in the site. Mm-hmm. No, so the question was, instead of just doing this in my person HTM, I just put the TR. If I put the script tag in, will it be cached, compiled and cached for later use? No, because that get function really just returns the string. You might be able to work some jQuery magic on it and kind of trick it into treating that like a jQuery object and then caching it. But usually putting the script tag in there doesn't work very well, because then you have, when you go to do this call here, right, it's unreliable or no guarantees about what it will do with that script tag here, because that's now part of your template. So it gets a little thrown off by that. Oh, if you just use it once in your page, then you're going to compile it once no matter what. Yeah, so you wouldn't need to compile it and then use it. You could just pull it up and use it if you just use it once. Yep. Yep. All right. Oops, I hit F5. I saw the yellow and I thought we were in a debug breakpoint. Let's go. All right, so just a couple other things here on this. One, obviously, my format JSON should be in a shared file. But we can leverage this not just with that local data. It probably goes without saying, I was using person and people that I defined locally. Just as easy to go out and do a get JSON call. Call your OData service. Call your new web API service with MVC4. Call whatever you have in the back end and have it return you that data. And then you can pass that into that template function and apply the template to that remote data as well. Nothing different there. All right, the template piece still works the same. The data is just coming from a different spot there. Okay. All right. Now, the other thing I want to point out is here I'm working with an MVC application. All the template stuff I showed you can just be in an HTML file. But here, when you think about MVC or server side and client side, I just want to show that you can mix and match these things as well. Right? A lot of times one of the issues with kind of pulling back client data like that and showing it is the page shows up, and then when it's loaded, your script kicks off and you go back to get some data and finally it comes back and displays. But you may want that data to display right away. And so you can use the mix of these things. So I'm using templating essentially, or my Brazier syntax. And so I'm going to write out to the page some of the initial data. I'm going to write out, in this case, all these movies, their titles and their release dates, when I render the page. But I'm also then going to put on those items, this click event that's going to allow me to go out and then query the data, display that in a particular template. So if we look at the get reviews, same kind of thing. I'm going to clear that container, just go get that data and show it up in there. It's not going to show up. Too big. Right. So you have all these different movies that come back. Everybody loved Terminator 4, I guess. And so now we've got this output over here, right, rendered with a template that gives us the comments and the reviewer, and then a little image based on what they thought of it, what their rating was. So, based on what you know, any guesses as to how I got the thumbs up and thumbs down to show differently for each of those? This is our quiz, our mid-session quiz. I think I heard it. I'll assume I heard it. I can tell you're a smart crowd. Somebody knows. We just use the if, right? So when we go get our review template, you can see in here we simply check the rating value coming back on that object. Say, look, if it's greater than 5, put a thumbs up out. If it's less than 5 or equal to 5, then give me a thumbs down. Right? Pretty straightforward. Pretty easy to add in. Right? It is possible to do all sorts of stuff like showing up here. Right? You might, instead of just putting a tag out, you can do it with attributes right in line. So you could make the class of the item be dependent on some particular value, right, where you want to switch the class and have all your cascading style sheet stuff kick in to format that a particular way based on the CSS class. So you don't end up embedding a bunch of style in here, but you can quite simply set the style by choosing that class. So the next thing that we have, we've got templating. I'm going to come back and show you a couple additional things with that in a minute. I think we saw most of these here. We didn't look at the template tag. The template tag would obviously allow you to call another template from inline. So we iterated over that favorite technologies, and we just embedded what we wanted in the output right there. If you wanted to, you could use that template tag to go call and say, well, this isn't just a string. It's a whole other object, and it's already got its own template that I use other places. So call that template to render this object inline in this template. And then the last two, we saw the HTML, so we could have markup get rendered. The wrap essentially is a combination of the other two, right? The wrap is I'm going to call another template, and it may have some HTML markup in it. Now, one of the things we'll see as we look at some of the future scripting and the templating pieces is they clean a lot of this up. There's fewer options. There's less to manage here. All right. So we've got our templates. Great. We've got this data local or from the server, and we've rendered it out there. We're kind of halfway there. Right? We've rendered it, but now we've kind of lost it. We've taken that data and we've put it out there, maybe just simply displaying it, maybe populating a form, and we want somebody to be able to edit it. And that's where the data binding piece comes in, where we don't just want to put those data elements in the page somewhere. We want somebody to be able to walk up, right, edit those things, change those things, and have it reflect back on our JavaScript object. The days are gone, I think, for most of us, of writing that code that says person.name equals input box.text, person.age equals int parse, right? Hopefully, we're at that level where almost all of our UI technologies now have data binding, and that's including JavaScript. So we can bind these objects together. So if we go back to our index, we've got a little form down here at the bottom, and it has two input fields, so first name and age. So that happens to match up with our little person up here. So in our load, I'm going to choose that. I'm going to say, go grab the form and link it to that person object. So that when I make changes to the form, I want them to automatically be reflected on that person. Now I've got a button down there that's going to try and show a person. Probably shouldn't have deleted that method there. So we'll just do a simple one for now. So person, oops, first name. And we'll put, you notice I'm getting away from the templates, aren't I? Doing that string concatenation. So we'll just do an alert there. So we'll go back to the index. Now, our person has a name. It was Matt. make it something completely different. We'll make it Harry in 25. And if I hit show, you'll notice, right, I show that person object, all those values have changed. So when I changed the values in the text boxes, it was bound to that object and it made those changes. Anybody notice anything about this when I first loaded it? It's kind of hard to know what the original values are, isn't it? Because they're not showing up in there. The way that this works is it's set up to track changes on those particular objects. Right? So we change the UI, it knows that the input value in that text box changed. Right? And it can go and reflect it on the object. However, in order to know that that object has changed, and this I will never type right the first time, I'm going to go in here, I'm going to grab that person object and just trigger a change data event. I'm basically going to signal that, hey, here's this person object, the first name property has changed. It's kind of like I notify property changed if you've done XAML with Silverlight or with WPF. And so I'm going to tell it, after you've linked, now I want you to be aware of the fact, I basically want you to pick up on these changes. So now when I load it up, right, it has the initial values and shows me those. Now, what's another way I could get those original values into those input fields besides doing that crazy change data event? Yeah, template. We could use a template to render the form in the first place and put the data values right in there quite simply on that first pass through and let that go in. So let's look at a slightly different version here. So I'm going to go to a review client. Oops, in my linking. So just so we can see this, right? Notice that as I type these now, I can have that same object bound to multiple items. Right? It doesn't have to just be an object to a form field. So I can have a variety of things on the page that are bound to that object and get updated. So we can see when the name changes in there, obviously the JavaScript object is changing, but those changes are also propagating to these other elements that are bound on there. Right? Now in my example here, this was just simple. Right? It was convention. It looked for the name of the input tags to match the property names to map those things up. But that might not always be the case, or you may not actually want to set it up that way. So just to kind of show you, we've got a similar set of functions here. This is that last screen I showed you with the text and the text boxes showing up. And so you can see that we've got the link happening, and then we can actually go in and provide a lot more detail around the binding. So it's not just convention-based bind by name. We could go in and tell it, look, when you link this span, this name view, to the person, the name property, right, here's the configuration of that. And so, excuse me, so we can tell it how to convert those things back and forth. So in this case, we can tell it, look, for the span, you need to be going out and setting the text property on that. So as you start thinking about binding to different UI elements, to different things in your DOM, it may not be as simple as just that convention base. You want to map to particular values or have JavaScript functions that essentially decide what happens in order to set those values. So we'll combine these things together. We'll go one step further. We've got our movie. I have no idea what that movie is. And we have some properties on here. So if we click on horse and buggy, notice we're setting the current review. We're binding it to the form, and it all shows up in there. And so I can go in then and change that. Say it's pretty bad. Notice what, though? It's not changing my text up there. It's not changing those items. I rendered those with templates. I didn't hook up any data binding. And so when I'm changing these things, I am changing the object. And in fact, if I hit update, we can see that Orson changes. We get the text, and now we get the down downward thumb. And so this allows me to show you what we can do with these items. So we just have the plain old template, just like we had before. So now I have this function. If you click on a particular review, right, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the template item for that. That's an item that's added into the DOM when we do the templating. So we created that item in the document object model. In addition to all the stuff we see, the visual stuff we see, there's template information stored with that DOM element. And so I can go out and get that template information by using this temple item against the element in the DOM. It gives me back that template item, and then I can go get the data. So I can say, oh, that thing was rendered, and here was the original data that came along. So this is that JavaScript object then, right, the JSON object that I got back. So I have the selected review, and I link that to the form. So that's how when I click on a particular review, my form updates to show all the properties from that view, because I've linked it to the data that was backing that template. And then I'm doing what we saw before. I'm just walking through that object and kind of signaling the changes to make the form update. Now the update, right, I get to take advantage of that same temple item, that ability to go get the template item. So when we update, right, well, I know that the ID of my object is the current reviews ID. So I'm going to go grab that div. Now I get the template item for that. I can set the data and say update. So I've basically gone back, grabbed that template item from the element that I rendered, said, no, I want to change your data. And now when I call update, it's going to re-render into the DOM in that exact same place, and it allows me to update that element. So those templates, we often think of them as just, I get some data, and I render it, and then I'm done. But the reality is the way that this template engine works, we can go back and get at the data, we can go back and get at the template, we can have it rerun and refresh and do those things if we want to, based on triggers in the application. Excuse me. So here's where we get into the interesting part of the timeline and where we're at. Right. Oh, do you have a question? Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, so the question was, can you use the templating in combination with Knockout.js? Yeah, the jQuery templates is one of the supported template libraries that they allow you to plug in there. Yep. So the issue right now is... Microsoft submitted these things to jQuery. They got in the pipeline. They were beta. And then they just kind of stopped there. And so right now, if you go look at the site, not only will it tell you they're still in beta, but they're starting to change the model a little bit. And here's why. I just showed you some really cool stuff with the DOM, right, where it's storing all this data in the DOM, and you can go back and retrieve it and all that cool stuff. Which is great for certain scenarios, but it does impact performance a little bit. Right? And so we're looking at a truly DOM-based templating and manipulation. We're looking at a lot of extra data in the DOM, especially if you use templates with lots of items. And the jQuery team, really likes these notions, but two things came up. Right? One was the rendering time and needing to kind of focus on performance, because they're planning on taking dependencies on this stuff for some of their core jQuery pieces. jQuery UI team is working on a grid plugin, right? That there are tons of them out there already, but they're going to create one that's the jQuery grid. And they want to be able to leverage the templating to render those things out, and they want to be able to take advantage of this library. So they needed a couple things to happen. One is obviously the performance, but the other is, as people have been using this, they're finding some clashes with other popular client libraries. Right? The dollar curly sign, the way they do expressions, the way they have code in there. Some things have started surfacing where they said, well, we need to change this a little bit. And so jQuery templates, right, and DataLink are both out there. They're both available. You can download them. They are marked as beta, but as I said, lots of people are using them. They're on some pretty high-end sites, and they work really well. Of the two, I would say the templates is absolutely the more more mature. Right? It's it certainly does what it does really well. Data linking works pretty well, but it's got some rough around the edges sorts of things. So where does that leave us? Well, the devs at Microsoft, maybe just one dev, the people at Microsoft who are working on the data link and the templating are working on the next revs of these things that the folks at jQuery will most likely use in their core bits of product. Now, the part about us being in a weird spot is the stuff we've looked at is beta and no more development is happening. This new stuff, not quite yet in beta. Although next week when you get into work, it might be. It's supposed to be by the end of the month from what I heard, at least for part of it. And so we're kind of in this weird spot where, you know, if you need templates today, the jQuery template stuff works really well. And as I said, it's getting used a lot. You could certainly use that. If you're looking towards the future and thinking about something a couple months out, then you may want to hold off for a week or two and take a look at JS Render. Now, JS Render kind of replaces a portion of the templating in terms of just the raw rendering of those templates. You'll see the syntax is slightly different. The way we call JavaScript functions is a little bit different, but it's essentially the same concepts that we've just looked at. But it's string-based. So whereas we were doing an append to and essentially adding nodes into the DOM, with JS Render, we're going to use the HTML function to set the HTML of a particular element. So we've been working primarily with strings in there, which makes it much, much faster. Right? So let me go out. I thought I had this open, but... So if we take a look, we've got our same kind of idea. We've got a collection up here. We've got our startup. So here, we're kind of going the other way around. Notice now I'm going to go grab the target. This is where I want to put the data, is in this container item, this unordered list. And I'm going to call the HTML function, saying I want to set the HTML, the inner HTML of that item. And then what I pass to the HTML function is this call. Go get the person template. You can see it there on the script tag. Right? And render it with people. Right? So pass in these people and render it. So some of it's a name change. Right? Render instead of template to make clear that that's exactly what we're doing is just rendering these things initially. And the other is this notion that we're no longer doing DOM manipulation, so we're going to pass it to the HTML method. Now, any differences here? Slightly, right? Instead of dollar sign curly brace, now we have double curly braces and an equal sign. Right? So same idea, slightly different syntax on the templates themselves, right? But we have all that same the same notions here of we've got this text, we've got this template, then and we're going to go render it. Right? So if we look at a little bit more involved template here. For our reviews, you'll see there's some additional changes here. Right? The if takes a pound sign now. Right? Slightly different. Right? But still has support for this expression in here, right? Rating greater than 5. So we still have the if else. If we look, you're going to see I mentioned the tags have kind of been stripped down. So we have if else, we have each. And then we have two output elements. We've got the standard that we saw, the double curlies and the equal sign. And then we have the unencoded, which instead of having to be the HTML tag, essentially we replace a curly brace with an exclamation mark. Right. So we can unencode that that same data using that expression. So those are the main differences in that particular piece of it. Right? Still rendering, it's string-based, it's going to be a lot faster. But we are going to work with the API slightly differently, and the syntax changes a bit. But not a whole lot. Now, the other piece is something called JS Views. So JS render is purely the rendering. I want to go out, I want to take some set of data on this template, and I just want to power through it and build some HTML using strings. JS views takes all that kind of richness and DOM stuff that we had with templates. I was able to go out on a particular item and get that template, find the original data, re-render the template. JS views gives us that plus the data link stuff. So the split is a little cleaner here in that the JS render is really all just about getting it out there. JS views is when you want to go that next step and have more of an approach where I have objects that represent these views. I can code against those views and those objects and use those. And the views allow me to do the data binding. Now, when we combine these, the JS render and the views, we get really nice binding syntax like this. So that we don't have to, we don't have to write all that crazy JavaScript I was showing you to connect the spans. We don't have to do convention-based. We can say, hey, here's an input. The data for this particular tag comes from this property. And if you change this input, I want you to write the data back to this property. Now, obviously, in this case, they're the same, but they don't have to be. Right, I might change a property, and it might be that you want to track what they're changing. So you get the value from old value, and when they make changes to the input box, it changes the new value or something like that. Right. So if we go look at our... Our linking here, we'll see on the review template then, this is just where I show the thumbs up, thumbs down, the name in the review. So I have a template for that. I'm going to give the div a particular ID. It's going to be the ID of the review and a class. And then I put these spans in, and notice I have this data get from reviewer, data get from summary. So when I render this template, it's grabbing that. In this case, it's not much different than if I did the regular templating because I'm just doing a get from. But I can also have the get to there as well. And it helps when I do this to make the data binding work across the two. So when I render that, I'm not just getting the rendered output, but because I'm using those attributes now, I'm getting a view behind the scenes for that thing. And what that means is I'm getting data binding. So now I've rendered each of those individual items out there. And we've got a click set up. So when I go and select one of those things, I'm going to have this editor template. And now we'll see things like an input type text, data get from review text, data to equals review text. So I want to reflect that data right back in there. So let's go look at this. So we pick one of these. Now I've got this guy. These were rendered with that data from and data to. And if I pick that, we've kind of got the show set up in here. And so we could say, pretty bad. Tab. Now he's sir pretty bad. So we can go through now, and by using the combination of the JS render and JS views, we're going to get data binding. And notice it's because I used the JS view model, I used those attributes. These are all kind of linked together. I'm using the view. So as I'm making changes, they're being reflected in the object, and it's being updated on all the UI elements that are bound to that particular object. So we have the review there. Obviously was bound to the original piece when we did it up top. And then we also added it down here. So we look at our we've got get reviews, right? And you select a particular view here. We're simply going to set a property on this thing as an observable to raise that event. So you click on a particular review, and we just say, hey, get the view for this item. So get the view for whatever the review was, right? Whatever item generated this, get that view. And again, now we have access to the data. We've got access to the template again. So we're going to get that particular view, and we're going to use that as the current item. And now we pick up all those changes and the form displays, and we can see that. Good question. Is this a library that's used in ASP.NET for a single page application? No. I'm almost positive not. It is similar. I'll create one, because honestly, all the ASP.NET stuff I was doing was Web API this week. So we'll look, and I think what you're going to see is it's probably something similar that would leverage some of this potentially. Wow. It's a lot of stuff. So scripts, we have jQuery, jQuery UI, validate, history, upshot. Yeah, so what you're seeing in there is knockout and potentially upshot. So let me actually come back to that in a second, because I plan to mention those things here at the end. All right. So that's kind of where we're at. All right. The data link and the templates are out. You can use them. JS render and JS views is coming. It's in my view, all right, it's a little more modern, it's a little richer, and it's going to be ideally something that, if all goes to plan, will become part of the core jQuery, and you'll see it leveraged a lot. Right? So keep an eye on those things moving forward, and use the template stuff today if you want to. Now, what I'll say, back to your question is, these are pieces of building out your UI. Right? We have templating or rendering, and we have this data binding. Right? Now, what's included with the new ASP.NET projects, a lot of the MVC stuff, is something called Knockout.js. Right? That is a library that goes one step further and says, this is a library for doing model view model development in JavaScript. Right? So today, Knockout can use the template engine that we looked at to do the templating and the laying out of that stuff. They have their own notion, I think, internally of observables and being able to track those things. You'll see that that's all coming in jQuery as well. So Knockout kind of is ahead of the game, and they've built their own library, and lots of people are using it and having success with it, focusing on doing MVVM in the browser, essentially. So it does templating. It does its own kind of binding and change notifications as well. Which works really well. So definitely something to take a look at if you want that whole package. And there are others as well that I'm not as familiar with, but there's a Backbone.js, and there's some others that, you know, other frameworks out there that may fit the bill for you more if you want a full MVVM. But if you just want the template piece, you can try these out and use these today and get you part of the way there at least. To which? I haven't compared it to handlebars, no. Yeah, that's the other, you know, these are some particular libraries that I chose to show, and they're ones that are, you know, plugins out there. But if you look at the information on the jQuery UI site about their goals for building their grid, they have this whole section on templating, and they name, you know, half a dozen different templating engines out there that they've been looking at. And trying to kind of assimilate and do the best of all of these. So if one of these, you know, you like the idea of templating, but one of these doesn't jump out at you, go out there and check it out. There are definitely other frameworks that provide the same kinds of features, just packaged up differently with different syntax and kind of different ideas about how to do that. So, all right. Any other questions? Last day, last chance to ask questions at the conference. Don't ask me stuff about Windows 8 or SQL, though. It's not that kind of last chance. Can you mix them? Certainly within the site, you could. You could have those on there. You could even have different, you know, have templates on the page and use the different syntax. But yeah, the names have changed enough on the methods, I think, that you probably wouldn't run into any collisions. What's that? Can you nest templates? Yes, let me go back here. So in the current, in the jQuery templates today, not the JS render, you do have the template tag. So you can, at some point within your template, you can say, oh, here, I have this whole object to render. I don't want to duplicate that in all these places, so I'm just going to use another template that's just specific to that element. Yeah, so the question was, so if I do that, if I do nesting, can I refer to the data context of the parent? And I'm trying to make sure I'm not getting confused with when you do the each. When you do the each, you can use $item to refer to it. I believe you can do the same thing in there, but I would have to double check if that's the syntax or not. But you should be able to get item.parent and go up and find the parent item as well. Yeah. So I think the dollar item will get you the current item. And that's the item that the template was originally rendered against. So for example, when I did the each over the favorite technologies, if I put $item in there, that's going to refer to the person, not the current tag. So $item is the item, the root item of the template. So I can get at that data. I can get at those properties as well. But it also has a parent property. So as you go down into multiple templates, you do item.parent and get that parent data item as well. Yep. Yeah, way in the back. Would you still pass HTML validation? Is that what you said? Yeah, once you... that's a good question. I mean, once you've rendered these things, once you've put them out there, they do become part of the DOM. So if you're rendering a form or other things, when you go to submit the form... all those elements should be part of the form. Honestly, I haven't tried that recently, so I'm trying to think if there's some case where that might fail. But since those things are rendered into the DOM, that should work okay. It would depend on what validation framework you're using and if it depends on particular attributes and other things to be there. So when you render, you need to make sure to render out any of those attributes if they're expecting, you know, data dash attributes or any kind of validation attributes. You need to make sure those were part of that tree. All right, last chance. Going once, twice. Thank you. Thanks for coming. All right. Hope you enjoyed Tech Days, and everybody have safe travels home.